you know, like a little tea bag, a holder that you have for your tea bags, and it's got a...
I guess.
Well, yes, it's just usually the little shape of a teapot, and it's just a little thing that holds your tea bags once you've used them. What are they called?
It's called a bin, mate.
Compost. Hello, and welcome to No Idea Yet, the program, well, podcast, where we don't know what the hell we're talking about for the first half. Go away, do a bit of research, and find out exactly what it was that we don't know. Every week we have a different topic. This week it's my turn to choose. I am your host, Freddie. I'm here with Alistair.
Hello.
And Jonathan.
Hello.
Where we take a dive into uncharted waters, or often waters we should have charted many years ago and realise our ignorance. This week, the topic usually is spoken about with a "the" at the beginning, implying there's only one, but often I think we'd find that there's many. Johnny, what are you doing?
This is a drum roll, but you're taking way longer than I thought you'd
take. All right, we'll just go for it. The topic this week is the black market.
Ooh.
So you'd assume maybe that there is only one black market, but obviously there's not. But I don't think anyone refers to it as black markets. Maybe you do?
Of course you would. Why do you think there's only one? What is in this, like, one big thing where everyone's got their trestle tables and they come out with all their illegal things?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think, like, you wouldn't say, like, oh, they're being sold on the black markets, would you? You'd say it's on the black market, singular.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's
whatever.
Just terminology for anything which is illegal.
Whatever.
It?
It's my topic, so we're going to talk about it on my terms.
I'm going to write the title, and that's going to be what.
Yeah. So the thing that I find interesting is that, like, I hear, you know, you hear on the news about, I mean, especially with, like, cryptocurrencies being used to buy and sell illegal goods. And then, I mean, things that are illegal are obviously subjective to the country that is selling them. So something that maybe in England, such as food, like fruit and veg, is not an illegal item. But to sell something like that in North Korea is a huge difficulty because, I mean, well, they're being starved. So the concept of a black market is just a place where people sell things that the government that they're under says they can't, right?
Yeah.
So I got a few questions about where they come from, how you access them, the idea that how some things are sold that you wouldn't even expect, how they're regulated, because still things have to be regulated in somehow, right? It can't just be total anarchy to sell things and buy things. And my final point is, can we have a society without black markets if everything has a price? So starting us off, Jonathan, go.
I've got a little, literally about 20 minutes ago, well, before we started the show, on TV, there was a thing about Lidl and, like, its origin, starting in Germany after the World War II, I think. Obviously, Great Depression, so discounts were really big. And they were thinking of a name to call it. And I think one of the first names of what is the German word for black?
Schwarz.
Schwarz,
that's it. So, usually in Germany, apparently, at the time, if you ever had a shop, you put market at the end of it. So they thought of, like, we can't call it Schwarzmark because it would be black market. So obviously they came up with Lidl somehow, but kind of a little fun thing of
Lidl.
I think maybe Schwartz was, like, a family name or something. I'm not really sure, but it was that thought of. They didn't call it black market because it would be called black market. I like Banana Republic though, so we should have gone for it. Just be on point.
Since we always go to Johnny, I'm just gonna cut his legs off here because I'm sure he's gonna bring us in on the second half with the definition. Alistair, what do you think the definition of black market is?
I missed my chance.
Wait, it's definitely, yeah, it's definitely trestle tables involved, I'm sure.
In a dusty street.
Very dusty street, exactly, with, you know, shady looking characters around. No, I mean, to me, that is actually literally what I probably picture without, like, even subconsciously with that. But no, it's obviously, yeah, where people buy and sell illegal or counterfeit, or just generally, like I say, general goods that you cannot buy legally, right? That would be my initial thoughts.
They were attained illegally. So black market for stolen cars, for instance.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of illegality involved, for sure. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't, I was going to go buy some bread off the black market, and like I say, unless you're in North Korea or somewhere where the buying and selling of bread is illegal. But then, like I said, if you wouldn't, say someone was going to buy drugs, you wouldn't be like, I'm going to go buy them off the black market. I'm just going to, you know, obviously it's just like, yeah. But that would be obviously considered. But in economic terms, obviously, yeah, it's just, I think it's as simple as things that are not illegal to sell in
not
the country.
Illegal or
illegal, sorry, to sell in that country. Then therefore there is a black market of the black market of goods, which is basically untaxed as well, probably. That'd be a big part of it, wouldn't it?
One of the biggest things for anything which is black market will be untaxed. Mine is probably the people selling it. They'll probably tax it.
So, Johnny, can you think of anything just off the top of your head that is something you'd imagine is sold often on the black market or a black market currently?
People?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Straight to human trafficking. Yeah.
Yeah.
You picked the topic for it.
Yeah, I mean, people, drugs, animal products, anything stolen, because I'm assuming also, like, if you think of, like, anything bought, stolen, like artwork's got to be a big thing as well, because obviously there's loads of fakes out there and some real ones as well, so it's...
No, that makes sense. I mean, the thing, like, considering the vast variety and obviously the rise in things like cryptocurrency, how do you think they were regulated in the past anyway, just before all this? It's just people having to name their own prices.
Regulated by whom? So I think we need to agree on a definition that we're going to go with going forward in this. So are we just going with illegal things, or things that aren't regulated by governments, or things that aren't being taxed, or say you were, like, I don't know, doing a service to someone else who then you didn't pay tax on that, would that be then a black market good? Kind of is,
the origin of a black market has to come from somewhere. Was it there was actually, you know, it could be like some random historic thing of in one country there was actually like a market which was like had a black banner to it and it was only for illegal products and it was done like 2 a.m. or something? Or is it a case it's a general term which is, you know, in the same way you'd have the stock market, it's the black market is just something of where stuff which is sold under the counter effectively, which is illegal, it isn't like taxed, it isn't whatever. So it's more of a case of there isn't, when you say the black market isn't one thing, it's everything that pertains to being something that's just illegally bought or sold.
But it's the same as the dark web, right? I assume it's not, I've never been on it, but I'm assuming it's not just slightly, it's got worse lighting than the regular web. Like, it's just, that's just our connotations that we have in our head with, you know, the sort of shady business deals, as it were.
Okay, well, let me throw in a curveball here. So, are you aware about you're aware of things like eBay or Facebook Marketplace or something, right? It's an online way of selling goods and services. So, or Craigslist. If you had a code that meant that you were selling, I'm going to go with a soft one here, oranges you'd stolen, but you had a special code word for that and you're using eBay to do so, is eBay a black market? Because you're doing it, like you're getting around...
Well, that seller would be technically black market, I guess.
A black market salesman?
On a bit of a sideline, this became an issue with Wayfair. There's a bit of a conspiracy about it because they found that you'd have a random wardrobe which had a really weird particular name, like it would be called like Sarah or something, and it would go for like £30,000 or dollars. And they're like, so they were wondering if Wayfair was being used for human trafficking because they had ridiculous prices on like one-off items, which had very personal names. So I guess that's one thing I'll actually look into again. I think it was just, they were like, no, Wayfair is just a weird place. But yeah, there was a bit of a thought about why is there very specific names for furniture, which is at ridiculous prices.
That's crazy. Because the reason I came onto this idea was because I saw a news article that was an issue with people selling flight attendant uniforms. Because if you got hold of a latest flight attendant uniform, you could walk straight into an airport and get past any security you liked without much of an issue. And that was a huge problem in certain countries because it's like, oh crap, our security has no idea who's real and who's not, just from people selling their flight attendant uniforms.
It has some sort of name badge system. Oh no.
No, but I mean, like, hey, wearing a high vis and just walking around where you want.
Or a lab coat.
Exactly. And when you have a specific uniform, like, why would you question it? And especially like with the fact that the people who are flight attendants probably aren't paid that well, that if they can sell their own uniform for thousands, they probably would. Even if it puts security at risk. So basically, that's getting that anything can be sold if you think about it, isn't that there's probably reasons to sell anything, such as fake honey, which is referenced in our previous episode. There's a black mark for that.
I'm thinking, do you say about the eBay thing, was it bought? You could say it was bought on the black market, But the black market is just, I guess, more of an ethereal name for when you buy something illegally or something like that. So it could be saying, oh, I bought on the black market, but the way I got it was through eBay. But not that eBay is the black market, just you purchasing something is technically from or within the black market.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. That's what we're going to go with going forward as a definition.
Okay, Alistair, I'm gonna chuck at you my last point that I was saying. Do you reckon we can have a society without black markets?
Nah, not really.
And why is that?
Not with zero. Like I said, it depends on if we're like, okay, we're gonna cut down on human trafficking and like the illegal buying and selling of organs and drugs and guns. Sure, let's crack down on all that. Everyone knows that's bad. Let's crack down on that. But if you're saying there's going to be zero black market whatsoever, then that means, you know, like you say, no one's going to ever, you know, I mean, that's goes into far simpler things. Like you say, like, obviously drugs is a big one that's never going to go away because there's a demand for it, right? But yeah, but I feel like as long as there is a demand which for something which is illegal, there'll be a black market for it, right?
So what if, like, prices would, I don't know, somehow we lived in a society where everything was just so cheap, or there was a perfect communist kind of society where you didn't have to buy anything? Would you need a black market because you just get what you want when you want it?
Sure, if that's the hypothetical world you want to portray, then sure, but like, that's not the world, is it? So
what's that thing about communism? Like, hypothetically communism works, but every time in practice it has never worked, doesn't it, like that?
Right. Well, yeah, it doesn't. Equality of outcomes don't work, basically, because people put in different effort. Like I said, that's the big thing. Like, equality of opportunities is great. That's what we should all strive for in society. But equality of outcomes, like paying everyone the same or having, you know, everyone do, yeah, basically communism, it doesn't work in practice because effort and attention and everything else are different.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, to say the difference between need and will happen, of I don't necessarily think you need the black market for a functioning society, but I don't believe that you won't have one.
It's a byproduct of people wanting things that they can't have by law, right? It's as simple as that.
Surely, anything you have, just like yin and yang, you know, like, as soon as you get rid of one thing, you just move the scale. So suddenly it'd be like, oh, well, actually, everything's fine. You know, everyone's got everything that they want, but this is like, yeah, but I want it cheaper. You know, and you, like, I think there's always going to be, even if it's not anything majorly like bad, it's not organs or anything like that, so you can get stuff, but then the next thing would be, oh, well, I want my cigarettes cheaper. And that's a classic thing, isn't it? You're people buying, you know, under counter cigarettes for like wherever, because it's not it's the extra, isn't it?
So yeah, I want it cheaper than I can get it. Everything was legal and everything was really cheap. The thing is, you're still going to get someone where it's like, oh, well, I've still got this stuff and I don't really want it so bad, and so I can sell it to you cheaper than it is in the shop.
Mm.
Is that straight away? That's kind of,
yeah. Yeah, if someone's got leftover medication, they're like, oh, I don't need this anymore, like pain meds, and someone's like, yeah, oh, right, well, I could really do some back pain, but I haven't gone to the GP yet. They're like, oh, well, I can give them to you, just chuck me a fiver or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you got one. If like the Internet of Things and general communication increases in that way, well, that kind of thing, because obviously Facebook Marketplace is amazing for what it is, and there's no way that would have existed, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And it's like, you know, it's far outstripped eBay in terms of it's being how unregulated it really is. Like, obviously, you've got to imagine that all sorts of dodgy stuff goes on there, because it is just literally two people who haven't, you know, who just have the ability to talk to each other and put a photo of what they want to sell. And obviously, I'm sure you can get banned from it and everything else. And they do have it. They have regulated it to a degree. But, you know.
Fair enough. Well, does anyone want to add anything before I give you some things?
One final point. So yeah. Why were you trying to get your hands on a air hostess uniform? Was that a personal use?
Well, I just thought I'd look really good. I like the little tie thing that goes on, the cravat type thing. Yeah, and the hats they wear were really cute. So.
Very
and
fair.
I mean, not even hostess, flight attendant. I hope I said flight attendant.
Is it the hostess now, the non-PC term?
Well, I mean, you can have hosts and hostesses. Why not hosters. Make them all?
Or a host.
Attendance.
Yeah, attendance. Yeah, better than that. Go on. Well, what's our homework then?
So, basically, ideally, if you could look up some things that maybe are surprising on black market, as in to sell, such as, I was saying, flight attendant uniforms or animals or something, maybe something that you wouldn't realise was such an issue to be sold illegally. Perhaps the origins and or future of black markets. I did hear on the news recently that cryptocurrency is actually declining as use in criminal activity. It's is not really what people were trying to make it out to be as the true crime selling medium, but actually cash is king still in those underworlds. And yeah, maybe a bit about how they're regulated or different black markets around the world, how you get a hold of one. But this is all for educational benefits. And
I just say, we're all going to be banned from, we'll be a government watch list by the end of next week.
I hope this hasn't taken a darker turn than I meant it to.
No problem.
I mean, just a thing about the cryptocurrency of, with the best will in the world of like looking at really, Freddie, you have experience of this. You can look at a really successful, like high earning company, and they still have no idea how to do anything with computers. So I think it'd probably be the same for criminal activity of people find it a lot easier just to deal with cash rather than know how Bitcoin works, for instance. So I feel some people,
if you went around like your sort of local estate or where somewhere you knew like, you know, criminals were, and you tried to be, oh yeah, I'll pay you in Bitcoin for this if you can go, you know, it's not gonna go very well, is it? Let's face it.
Can I have a 20 bag?
I'm just not gonna claim it.
Yeah.
Can I have a 20 bag of weed? And it's like, yeah, and then it's like, I'll pay you 0.0023 bit. Oh, hang on a second. 0.0024.
You
want to
chuck another 0 or 2, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on a second.
That's some expensive weed.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, no, that's, I enjoy that. So, yeah, we'll go away and research
it. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to the first half of this week's episode on black markets. And join us after the break where we realise how ignorant we were. Hello and welcome back after the break. You're here with Freddie, Johnny and Alistair talking about black markets. So it's been a week. We've gone and done some research. Hopefully it's not too dark. And we're going to start off, as always, with Johnny's description of the week. Johnny, take it away.
I mean, when you say not too dark, I mean, the word is black. I mean, that's
yeah,
as dark as it goes.
The darkest of colours.
I've researched yellow markets the entire time.
Well, I mean, I did find about grey markets and green markets, so we can talk about that later.
I like, there's loads of different names for it. But so I've got two kind of definitions. One was a black market, underground economy, or shadow economy. And I think that sounds cool, a shadow economy. It's a clandestine market or series of transactions that has some aspect of illegality, or is characterized by some form of non-compliant behavior with an institutional set of rules. And the other definition is a transaction platform, whether physical or virtual, where goods or services are exchanged illegally. And like before, I wasn't sure if it was the black market or a black market, and it's a black market. And effectively, it's just the thing of, it's not any particular place or whatever, it's anything which is slightly illegal, or it's, well, I can go more into it. There's four different types, which I found out. For a bit of the name
go
as well, it's just because it's like the black market, there's loads of different things. Apparently, underground economy / black market was coined after World War One. Obviously, there have been a lot of things where people are like, for rationing and stuff, people are buying and selling stuff illegally, effectively. You know, like, oh, we're going to get some extra chocolate or extra sugar or extra meat when we're not allowed to. But you have the four types are the illegal economy, the unreported economy, the unrecorded economy, and informal economy. So the way to kind of think of it, the illegal economy is the classic stuff of trades of goods and services, drug trafficking, human trafficking, everything like that. So that's just outright illegal stuff. Unreported, and that's more like you're dodging your taxes, for instance. So you're kind of like, you're deliberately not reporting everything you do. Then you have the unrecorded, which I feel is more to do with your pay. So say an example could be like, you're self-employed and then you don't record all the money that you receive. That's a way of it. And the informal, and I think that's more of like, say you get a tradesperson around to your house and then everything is, they buy the tools legally, they do, everything's under legal premise, except maybe they pay you cash in hand and then you whatever. So it's, the informal economy is more about like everything's still technically legal minus one part, which is probably the main part, but everything's kind of like technically a bit above board. So it's not like you can get some dodgy electrician to do your wires and it's not actually correct. It's like, no, everything's actually correct and right, it's just the end part or whatever.
So yeah, that would be a grand, mate, or 800 quid cash. Which you fancy.
Yeah.
Well, I did see a similar part, that the unreported economy, I don't know if you saw that, I don't know, this estimate was, the US's unreported income is estimated to be
$2 trillion, resulting in a tax gap of 450 to 600 billion. Just again, because everyone always needs, I feel, a refresher on numbers. We'll go with the seconds analogy. A million seconds is 11 and a half days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So a $2 trillion unreported income is, well, 64,000 years if it was a dollar a year.
The entire history of humans on the planet. More well,
it's crazy. Speaking of economies,
I was just going to finish up the idea when you think black market, you always think dodgy back streets or whatever. But especially with the unreported and unrecorded, it's very much that's like the blue collar crime thing. So like the people who avoid taxes, that is the black market effectively. So that is it's.
Do you mean white
crime?
You're giving it the dirty name for what it is, rather than being like, oh, I'm just kind of dodging my taxes or whatever stuff like that. It's like no, you're actively gaining more money from something which isn't right or illegal.
But you said, this is white collar crime. You said blue collar. Yeah, you mean white collar crime, right?
White collar crime. Sorry, not blue collar.
I was going to say, is blue collar crime a thing? Like,
police?
Yeah. It's just really sad crime. So, Alistair, would you be interested in just going into your? I know you researched a bit about economics, since this follows on nicely.
Well, yeah. So the first, obviously, just the scale of it, which obviously you touched on there, but the fact that it was literally trillions of dollars is to put it in the perspective a little bit for you, is basically that if you added the fast food, movie, fashion, and smartphone industries all together, that's still less than a third of the black market economy, which is the shadow economy. So it's just like, it's so big. Like, if you imagine how much of a part of everyone's lives it would be, like, even a little bit, then it starts to make sense. And then obviously, there's plenty of people whose entire lives surrounded it. But yeah.
So if you assume the economy is like a healthy person, for example, the black market is like they've lost an arm and it's bleeding profusely. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's kind of, it is like that, but equally it is, it's like integrated in such a way that you would notice if it disappeared, but equally it's not. And it has all these negative connotations, but in a lot of cases it is like, it's just born of the government regulating things, and it's just sort of human's nature to, you know, human nature to get around these things and try and find shortcuts. And so it's that far more than it is just like I say, the knee-jerk response of, oh, it's all people selling organs and, you know, and guns and drugs. It's far more baddies. like Johnny said, it's far more nuanced than that, in a way of you know, being just about, just sort of, it's like the undercurrent of the river rather than
that's crazy
the blockade.
Well, to Johnny, what is the biggest market then?
So I'll go a bit more into it for like, so when we went to Tanzania, we learned some cool facts. One of it was about ivory trade and things like that. So one, which is just a ridiculous fact. So you all know for like elephant ivory, which is on the black market, usually it's used in like China or more like traditional medicines and stuff like that, which is all a load of baloney. Elephant ivory goes for about, this varied dependent, I've tried to find the price, but about 1,800,000 dollars per kilo of ivory. So that's how much the value is. So a kilo of elephant tusk, $1,800. Whereas if you look for rhino horn, can you have a guess for how much rhino horn is per kilo?
Like 10 times that.
So that would be,
there's not many rhinos left, so.
So if you say 10 times, it's 18,000 per kilo. But no, it is a whopping $65,000 per kilo for rhino ivory. Like, absolutely colossal. And it's only, it's that thing of like, it just keeps getting more expensive because you keep killing rhinos. But there's lots of talks and discussion about, because when we went there as well, like, would you legalize this trade or not? So elephants naturally drop their tusks, I think it is, or at least when they die or whatever, things like that. So that you are able to actually
they drop everything when they die.
Wait, they
just fall off as soon as they die. I don't need
these
anymore.
Dogs lose their tails when they die. If you got a dead dog, it can lose its tail.
I may be wrong, actually. Alright, the only thing you can find is that natural selection is causing elephants to not have tusks.
So I feel like they don't drop off because they always look super old, right?
Antlers. Antlers drop off.
I'm thinking antlers, that's why. It's quite funny that there aren't any. They used to have like megatusks elephants, which used to be like, you know, the big bull elephants. They were like, you know, the kings of the savannah or whatever, and they'd be these huge tusks, and they just aren't a thing anymore because they've been naturally selected out. So any elephant with a smaller tusk
not is more natural
likely, is less likely to get
hunting, right?
Selectively bred, I guess.
In zoos and farms and things. Elephants? What am I talking about?
So they just poach. So any, if you see elephant with poaching, big tusks, I'm going to kill that one. Whereas you see one of the small tusks, I wait for a bigger one to come along.
Yeah, right.
So those are the ones which are able to breed because they're the only ones remaining. Yeah,
so it's poaching, but rather than, so it's not like forcing breeding. It's through poaching rather than through.
Yeah, it's through poaching. It's natural selection. So the strong are able to breed, and the strong is having small tusks because you're less profitable.
That's really sad, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, but one of the things is, do you legalize it? Because effectively, like, elephants do die. They do have ivory left over. Also, there is so much which is confiscated and effectively just burnt. So is it a case of, could you massively increase government wealth effectively by selling off this to more, not as in like to
mass trade, in government terms, it's not going to be massive, is it, really?
Well, there's like...
It is if the government's Tanzania.
Yeah, they have they'll do big like hauls from like smuggling or poaching, stuff like that. There'll be millions of dollars worth of ivory. And it's a case of, can you put this towards like charities or the elephants back in again for like breeding production, stuff like this? And it's a good discussion and debate which people can have about.
Surgery for elephants with small tusks to give them bigger tusks.
Well, some things they tried to do is they'd see if they could dye the tusks pink. So there was a point of where you'd have, I think they'd try to do it, but it didn't really stop them from doing it. Other times, you can, like with rhinos, they tried shaving the horns off because it's keratin for the rhinos. So they just effectively try to chop it off. So they will just have a little stub there. But people still would poach them just for that little nub which is inside their face, effectively. So like they just can't. It's a case of you just need to round the clock protect them. But the idea is...
That's crazy.
Again, I digress. The reason I'm talking about this is because it was third in the world. It was wildlife. I think it's changed a little bit. But number one, reigning supreme, is drugs. Illegal drugs, $500 billion is the value of illegal drugs on the market. Second is hacking, unethical hacking. About $450 billion, which has been, I think, claimed in losses effectively of companies, which is huge.
Not paying the hackers,
It's more a case of people stealing stuff out, and I think the way they're able to find that is through people being like, this has been whatever. Counterfeits is next, so fake money, $250 billion.
Yeah, that was a huge one.
And then next was arms, but one said they can't really get an idea of how much the arms market is because it's hard to really tell. Another source said $60 billion. And then after that is the wildlife trade at $32 billion. But all this... I'll say there's another one, which is coming at a whopping $30 billion. Can you guess what it is? It's cigarettes. Cigarettes for being an illegal black market trade, $30 billion.
Because they're so heavily taxed, obviously you can just undercut
it's
tax.
It's mad, isn't it?
Like, so, you know, they're like 40. You know, I think they sell for $40 a thing in Australia at the moment, and then like it costs about $1 to make. So
yeah, it's all just tax. And then after you also get cargo theft at $30 billion and human trafficking at $30 billion as well. Never nice numbers. So that gives an idea for like if you just imagine how much money is just stored away all off somewhere else, effectively, which no one has.
You reminded me of that tweet that's like, can everyone just give a round of applause to drugs for winning the war on drugs? I think that's it's like a forgotten fact. Do you have any other weird items that I'm hoping aren't so negative?
But... I did, yeah. So a little bit of lightheartedness, okay? So there's a huge black market for sand. It's a bit depressing, but basically, yeah, sand, obviously super valuable in terms of being used for building sites, but more so is very easy to steal if you've just got a lot of lorries and you rock up to a beach in the middle of the night. So people just like stealing loads of like truckloads of sand and then selling it on the black market.
Because there's something about like that you can't use Saharan sand for like concrete.
Yeah, but it needs building. To be if it's by a river or by the sea, then it's much better because it's wet.
Yeah. So we've got loads of sand, but we can't use it because it's bad sand. Yeah. It's not fine enough, I think.
So I think it's so like it's so dried out. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Of course.
They had a of course probably was. There's a big one for laundry detergent apparently, just because it's relatively easy to steal and it's like the highest value, like essential item if you like. So like, there's a big laundry detergent market for it in the US. One that totally makes sense is baby formula. So that's again,
I got that one.
Very expensive, yeah. And then probably the weirdest one is super realistic masks. So these are invariably stolen from movie sets because obviously that's where you're going to get the most, the highest budget. Like obviously the money that goes into movies is unbelievable.
Tom Cruise is stealing my sharp.
but yeah, obviously. You can understand why there'd be a market for that in terms of if you wanted to commit a crime or do something where you could actually change your face well enough that you could like fool a camera or fool, you know, like, because obviously like in movies they really do put in like, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds into just like this, you know, this mask level. So yeah.
Can I just jump in here? Because I was looking obviously at different things that are on the black market, and one of the subheadings on the list I was looking at was racketeering. And I was thinking, I don't actually know what racketeering is. I've heard that word before, but I didn't know. So to anyone out there who doesn't know, like myself, a racket is a thing you use in tennis. A racket is a service that is fraudulently offered to solve a problem, such as for a problem that does not actually exist, or that will not be put into effect, or that would not otherwise exist if the racket did not exist itself. I was like, that's interesting. I wonder what kind of thing that means. And then I was like, oh, it's things like protection money. So, for example, the mafia saying, in order for you not to have your house burnt down, you need to pay us protection money because otherwise we'll burn it down. And
like blackmailed it.
The scary thing is, in southern Italy and Sicily combined, or it might just be Sicily actually, at least 80% of businesses pay for safety money to a mafia, and that's just terrifying. I couldn't believe that.
Someone's gonna come into someone comes into your shop and tells you that you're paying money all of a sudden. I can't imagine any other way of how, like, yeah,
literally, yeah, which and is just
organized enough so that, yeah, you can't, there's no one to call about it now, yeah.
But I mean, also included are fake insurances where people are like, yeah, this is insurance for earthquakes, or it could be anything, and they're not actually going to protect you for it at all. Yeah, literally. It also includes no-show jobs comes under this, where someone is paid just to be a face or to be put on the list or just show you have a company or something, but actually it's not a job there at all.
Stuff is all right, surely.
Yeah, that counts as racketeering, but I just thought that was interesting to chuck in there.
Could I, just because...
Yes, Jonathan.
I forgot... Part of my description had the word clandestine, and I thought not everyone will know that word. I completely forgot what it meant as well. Do you guys know clandestine?
Clandestine activities is like illegal and illicit, right?
I just thought it was clandestine, but there we go. Oh. Sorry.
Kept secret or done secretively, especially because illicit. You deserve better than that. Than these clandestine meetings. Yeah.
Yeah. One more fun one for you. So even more like, because again, this is something that you totally would think is very innocent and, you know, innocuous and everything, but it's actually obviously part of the shadow economy, is like a kid's lemonade stand. Because you can probably bet they're not going to be paying taxes on that, right? And there's a very cute video recently of this guy who like got his kid in like a in a suit, and then he like charged $50 a cup for lemonade, and the kid was just like really hardballing, like, you know, I'll do it for 45 if you want, but you know, and he made like $86 or something.
Oh man!
In the UK, if you have you're a sole trader, if you don't make more than £1,000 a year, then you don't have to claim it. I think
no, 12,000 is the lower cut.
Oh, but it's like, you know, for like declaring you've had any money come in effectively. I think 1,000 is the case if you don't have to tell anyone that you've made £1,000 a year. If that's the sole, you know, like, it, say if a kid has a lemonade stand, I think in the UK it would be a case of, as long as they don't make over £1,000, then it's not, they don't care. I could be wrong on that, but I
child labour, though, they might care about that.
That's true.
Child a reminder that this podcast is not for financial advice.
Or child labour laws. Yeah.
Yes, this podcast should not be used or referenced for financial advice. anyway, I was going to just throw in something here. Something I found was reasons not to use the black market, which was interesting. And it included
lack of police and everything else is obviously, you know, you're basically putting the onus on yourself to, like, your own insurance there, because obviously you can't, bought these drugs and the guy ripped me off. Excuse me, Mr. Policeman, can you help me out?
Wait, the mafia, I paid insurance to the mafia, but then they ripped me off, and I went to the mafia about because of the insurance, and then they said it wasn't included there.
I signed a contract and everything. Yeah. From other mafia. I paid from three different mafias. But generally, it's people who prefer legal suppliers because they're more regulated and easier to contact. In some jurisdictions, such as the US, customers may be charged with a criminal offence if they knowingly participate in black economy, even as a consumer. You might have a moral code and decide that it's a not good thing to do. And also, which I didn't know, is that in some jurisdictions, including England and Wales, consumers found to be in possession of stolen goods can have them taken away if they are traced, even if they did not know they were stolen. I didn't know
this ivory tusk of, you know, this gun made out of ivory was stolen.
This lemonade I got from this kid down the road.
Just put it in a museum and then it's fine.
That's
illegal
true.
When it's classic. Behind a case.
That tells us that we stole it.
Yeah. I mean, we just put it on your mantelpiece and have a case and then charge people £2 to come into your house. And you say, it's a museum, it's fine.
Alistair, is there anything that you wanted to check in about?
I watched a whole little documentary on an entire, like, very specific black market, which I think was quite interesting. I'll give a sort of brief synopsis of it, if you like. It's about mercury. Basically, it was in, I think it's Guyana, right? Guyana? They were sort of like, they had this weird voiceover for the documentary. Anyway, Guyana, it's in South Africa. And it's, they do a lot of, obviously, panning for gold there, right? And mercury, basically, what it does, when you're panning for the gold, you put a few drops of mercury in what you're doing. And it just, like, collects all the gold dust together, and it bonds with the gold dust, and so it basically makes the gold, you know, able to be mined, like, sort of easily by sort of on like a sort of, you know, lower, smaller scale. But obviously, it's very, very poisonous, right? and so it's illegal in a lot of the surrounding countries. But obviously, then, because it's legal here and illegal here, that sets up an amazing, you know, opportunity to make absolutely loads of money. In the black market. So this is kind of a classic example of them just emerging out of, you know, opportunity to make money. Because obviously, as we said, I think we said last time, again, we're not endorsing this here, but crime does pay a lot of money until you get caught. it was definitely an insight into the fact that this is all born of desperation. Really, like it's invariably because there's either, you know, not many other options, or it's just the best option out of a bunch of bad ones. You know, like if there is this ability to make money and trying to put food on the table for your family, then people will do it. I think that goes for the consumers and the people with the market, and the sellers, if you like.
I mean, the reason I don't harvest organs is because I've got a better job.
Exactly, without the risk. So yeah, I think that's something important to bear in mind, is where it's actually born of, and it is you could say, oh, it's human nature to be lazy, but it's born of, you know, we're obviously all lucky enough to be born in a country and have jobs where we don't need to resort to this, whereas if you know, for millions of people who do,
there's two reasons for the majority of crime, it seems. One is coming at the bottom, which is desperation, and the other is at the top of choice. So do you, like, I imagine for a lot of people who are, like, earning millions, obviously, like, if you get a 40% tax on anything over 150,000, say if you earn 5 million a year, you've effectively, some people say you've lost half of your earnings. And, or the other thing is you got crazy money, don't really care, and say, like, Lewis Hamilton is somebody who's meant to avoid
tax. It's greed at the top more than a...
Yeah, or the other thing could be somebody, if not the person directly greedy, so Lewis Hamilton, whether or not he asked an accountant to be like, can I shave off some tax, please? Or was he propositioned to be like, hey, do you want to make some more money? And he's like, sure, yeah, I guess, why not? I'll just take a cut if that's okay. And then you're like, then it's whether someone's deliberately doing it, it's the choice which is made higher at the top. And if someone says, don't worry, it's all technically legal, or you'll never get caught, then it, yeah, it's just greed, isn't it? It's just numbers in the bank account.
I mean, greed is a choice, right? Because it assumes you already have enough to be greedy, so you choose to take more.
Yeah. So just, and then the final point that they go into that I think it's worth delving into is that invariably they have a very terrible environmental impact, understandably, in the way that most human activities do. But then as soon as you take away regulations and everything else, it just becomes so much worse. Especially with this mercury one is a big problem with fishing, because obviously it's leached into the rivers and everything. The little fish eat it, and then because they can't get rid of it, it's just like it sort of binds with the organs and does all sorts of terrible things. Then as the fish get eaten by the bigger and bigger fish, it just carries on settling. So by the time you get the biggest fish, they've eaten like all these mercury filled fish. But
And then we eat them.
Exactly. So yeah.
And that's where we start caring. Who cares about the fish? I'm caring about whether my tuna has mercury in it.
Exactly, yeah.
So I guess incredibly oversimplified answer is ideally to make the easiest jobs totally worth doing. Right. Like the first option.
But it's communism. It works so well in historically speaking, yeah.
Theoretically, so, it works. In practice,
Johnny, I'm really curious. Please, can you explain Wayfair Gate?
Right, so this is because I mentioned it before and now I've looked it up. Because Wayfair Gate was, there were a number of like cabinets which were just standard looking. Maybe there's like one photo of a standard looking cabinet, and they ranged from $12,700 to $14,500. And they had very specific girls' names, so it'd be like Mary Asuna or something like that. And then somebody thought they saw one of the names on a missing persons report, and they thought, why on earth have you got one picture of a standard looking cabinet which is worth over $12,000, which has a girl's name which was missing? And it turned out that they're industrial cabinets, so they are worth that amount. The names are just randomly generated by a first name and a place name, and the prices were, they said they were worth it effectively. And what they did to stop it was they changed the names, and they also got more photos of the cabinet, so you actually see what money you're paying for it effectively. And this is all from a Rolling Stones article. But again, if you were so conspiracy minded, you'd feel like, well, all you did was just change the names, take some more photos of a cabinet, and then say it's okay and never worry about it. But you know, I mean, realistically, it's probably just Wayfair's got mad prices for random things. Maybe it's just money laundering. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, right. That's such a big part of so much of this, right? So yeah,
that's really interesting.
It doesn't have to be trafficking. It could just be good old running the market money laundering. I mean, wouldn't that make sense for Wayfair? Of like, oh, so my mate Ricky, he's got some old kind of like old furniture we're gonna sell. Well, sell it super cheap, and then just, why don't you give me this and I'll sell soldiers of furniture? And it's like, what is that, like the mafia in, can't remember, maybe it was somewhere in America, I think. And it was a mafia who had a pizza shop as a front to launder money. And it turned out that the pizza did better than the criminal activities. So then they went straight.
I saw that. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah.
Just a last thing that I was wondering if we could just touch upon. Did anyone look up anything to do with the dark net?
No, I think, like I said, the only other thing that was you mentioned for last week was like, could we survive without it, and what's the future of it looking like?
That was hard to find.
But so basically, yeah, future-wise, cash, obviously, cashless society, that would be quite an interesting one, right? Because obviously, in a cashless society, that's going to be a bit of an issue for a lot of criminals. And obviously, the knee-jerk answer, pretty much everyone's answer to that, is crypto. As that was kind of what crypto was when it, in its sort of early days, it was very much a way for criminals to send each other piles of money because of the anonymity of it. But yes, and then in terms of whether we'd be able to have a society without it, I think absolutely not, because it's always going to be things that need to be regulated for whatever reason, and there will always be demand for those things, and where the gap between those two is always going to be filled by a black market. So yeah.
So I feel it's not that it's needed, but it's definitely going to be here. There's nothing you can do about it. Because, even with the best intention in the world, somebody wants something cheaper, then they can get it. And, maybe you go into a shop, can I haggle you down the price? No. Right. I'll just try to find somebody so it is cheaper.
Well, unfortunately, I've mentioned it now, so I feel like I should at least just fill out my point. But yes, generally the darknet is just black market online, is generally what it is. Obviously, there has to be special ways to access these sites and to get your goods delivered. But it's huge on the hacking, and also people boasting about their hacking, which can be really good for companies trying to improve their security, because then they can see how it's done and try and fortify themselves against it. So that's the only benefit I found of the online market.
One last far, far fewer trestle tables involved than I thought. After researching that.
Yeah, that was first. The last point I just want to make that ties in with what you were saying is grey markets. Grey markets is basically things that can be bought cheaper in one place and sold for more money in another place. And this is a huge number of things like arcade games, clothes, shoes, loads and loads and loads of things. And so this is not quite a dark market, because it's actually all technically legal in the places that you're doing it, in the sense that you're just buying and selling stuff that's legal, but it's illegal to be like taking it, importing it to another country potentially, and trying to undercut the market in that country.
You're not creating anything, are you? So it's
just a bit, would an example of this be online game codes? So if you want to, you can get game codes for a console, for instance, where it's you go online and then you download a little code, which then you tell into your console and it will download the game for you. And usually, say an item will cost like £60 in the UK. What some companies online do is say the UK will have a set rate for what they'll put the games at, probably based on GDPR and population generally. Whereas, say, if you were to go to like Kazakhstan, where it's got a lower GDPR and general population, those games are going to be cheaper than they will be in the UK. So, because they're just download codes, it doesn't really make a difference. So what companies do is they buy a load up from another country, which is super cheap, then they sell them in another country for, well, a markup, but still undercutting the rest of the market comparatively. So with that, I think that would be a grey market, because it's technically legal, but at the same time it's not.
Yes.
What about green ones?
Ah, yes. Green market is basically reselling used things online.
Upcycling.
Yeah. But so it's the fact that you can also do, some people the entire take Facebook used cars, for example, and resell them in another country and actually make a huge profit, where those automobiles wouldn't be as accessible. But yes, also it can be Facebook Marketplace and dodgy stuff on eBay.
I mean, to have an idea for like
differences for our American listeners.
If you go to America and if you were to buy a bike, it's like a motorbike, in the UK, say it costs £3,000, and if you go to America, you can bet it probably costs $3,000. So something of where, like, depending on what country you're in, depends on the price you can buy something. Then that's where you'd have that difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, guys, thank you very much for joining me this week on the darkest of topics, which is the black market. I hope that you've learnt something new, as I definitely have as well. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Goodbye for now.
Immediately time, but
I might just keep that in.